Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The message today is entitled, Stir It Up. Okay, so we're going to stir it up. If we haven't already, we're about to. All right, when I meet with a lot of people, if you've ever sit down with me and I talk to you, at some point I'm going to probably ask you this question. What is your passion? Not who is your passion. What is your passion? What is it that when you think about doing, when you think about getting involved with, when it runs through your mind, it's like your heart rate goes up. It's like you just feel more alive when you're thinking about this or doing this than anything else you do. Now, some people know exactly what that is. How many of you can identify it just like that? Raise your hand. Okay? Now, there are a lot of hands that have not gone up, and that's why I'm going to talk to you. God made each of us for a reason, and He's left you here for a reason. And I've said this repeatedly. If God loves me so much that He sent His own Son to die on a cross, be buried, raised from the dead, and it took all that to get me into heaven, and heaven is so great, and it is, then what the heck am I still doing here? If heaven's so great, it costs God so much to get us there, then why isn't it we don't just get zapped, beamed out of here the second we get it? Why would a loving God leave anybody in a place like this with problems and suffering and pain? Why don't we just go home? He better have a good reason, and I believe He does. And the only reason I can come up with, guys, is people. It doesn't matter how, I'm saying do a good job, but it doesn't matter how much you produce or how much money you make, because you're going to leave it all. And the only thing that will matter and last and go for eternity is what you do in the name of Christ that impacts the lives of people. Now, does everybody understand that? I'm not saying don't go to work and don't do a good job tomorrow, because how you work is a reflection of who you are. And people will say, you know what? The best worker we got are these Christian people. Christians ought to be the hardest working people on the planet. It's part of your testimony. You ought to be the most conscientious, diligent person. But guys, if work is the only passion you have, and your passion, you don't know what there is inside of you, something doesn't move you that involves other people, where you're not going to get paid for it necessarily. If you get paid, it'll be on the other side. And something, when you get involved with some people, it's working with homeless people. Some people, it's working with kids. We got some people in the church that chomp at the bit to work with kids in a nursery. There's just something in them that they love to see children respond. And guys, frankly, I'm grateful for those people, because I got two little kids back there right now. And you know what? I'm praying my little girls get it. That's part of this daddy's prayer. And see, I'm in here with you, but somebody's back there with them. And if it weren't for somebody with a passion and a desire to explain the simplicity of the gospel to small little children, they're not going to get it. So I'm very grateful. I can't muster up passion. I can't get whoever it is and say, okay, now I'm going to try to get you real excited about this, and you're going to do this, and man, you're going to be the greatest at it. And he's going, well, you think so? And he'll last for about 2 days, and you'll go, I don't want to do this. But if I sit down and I say, let's try to find it, man. Let's pray. Let's talk about it. What is it deep down inside of you? Who is it that God has made you to be? What is this focus? What is this thing that when you get in your groove and you're doing, that it's like you just come alive? It's like all the levers are on full and you are moving, and there's not a job, there's not a relationship, there's not anything or anybody on the planet like it. Now, guys, part of my job as a pastor is to help you find out what God made you to do and equip you and encourage you to go do that. Because if you don't find out what that is and you're not doing that, your life is going to suck from here to the end of time. And you're going to wake up and you're going to go to your job and you're going to make plenty of money. You're going to jump through all your hoops and you're going to say, why isn't this working? I'm going to die and go to heaven, but my life is not working. You've got to discover why God left you on the planet and do that. You say, well, I've got some high-powered job and I make six figures, whatever. That may be your deal. But where is it that your passion comes out? It might be over in the inner city somewhere feeding homeless people. And you go to your job and it's okay, but when you get down there on that food line and you see people who have nothing and no one, and you see God take your life and change somebody else's life with it, there's nothing better than that. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about, but some of you have not a clue what I'm talking about. And that's, you say, I got heaven, I got a home for eternity, but I haven't found my niche here. Let me try to explain it this way. There is a destination, but how we get there is up to you. It is not up to me. I'm not going to be able to go to every hospital out there and see the Tonys. And somebody in this room, or God's going to send other people, and something inside of you, you're just good at it. You have this gift of mercy or something, and you can walk in a hospital, sit down in a chair, and read to somebody who's in a coma, or sit there and listen to somebody who's scared to die. And that's your deal, and that's your passion. And if I go do all that stuff and don't let you go do what God made you to do, I'm stealing your job. And there are too many preachers out there who are trying to do everybody's job because they're afraid if they don't, somebody will fire them because they don't need them. My job is to work myself out of a job if that's what it takes, so that you are fulfilled and you discover what it is God made you to do. And when you walk in the hospital room, or you're on that food line, or you're sitting down with somebody who's depressed, whatever, where you go, man, I can't believe I missed out on this all these years. God is taking all the debris from my past and mixing it together with His hope and faith, and all of a sudden I have an answer. Some good has come from my junk. Guys, you can't hide out in a building like this. You got to mobilize your passion and take it to the street. You know, if I said, meet me Monday night at the office, we're going to pray, and we're going to go door to door knocking on strangers' doors and tell them about Jesus, nobody'd show up. But if I said, meet me at the office, and this is coming, meet me at the office on a whatever night, about 10 o'clock, and we're going to pray, and we're going to hit Greenville Avenue. And we're going to go bar hopping together with the intent of saying, God, lead us to people who felt like us, who need hope like we did, and give us wisdom and discernment and a gentle spirit to be able to sit down and talk to them at a bar, wherever, and tell them how He changed our life. That's why Jesus got in so much trouble and they tried to kill Him, and did, because He ended up in places like that with people like that who weren't going to get it any other way except God came to them in a person and said, I'm here to not condemn you, but to seek and to save those who are lost. And they are lost. They feel lost. And most of the world's wagging a finger at them, telling them they're going to hell, and they already feel like they're going to hell. In some cases, they think they are in hell and there's no way out. Now, I don't know what your deal is. I don't know what your passion is, but we're going to find out what it is, and we're going to cut you loose doing it. There is a vision, there is a destination, but how we get there. You say, well, are we going to have a homosexual ministry? I don't know. That's your problem. Are we going to have a homeless ministry? I don't know. Are we going to have a ministry to unwed mothers? Are we going to have a ministry to, you name it. There's all these churches that have all these ministries. Why do they have them? Either some preacher wakes up in the morning and says, I got another great idea and I'm going to find somebody to push it on. Or Mark wakes up one morning and something is burning in his soul that he can't put out. He's awake all night long. And the Spirit of God inside of him is cranking his heart, and he finally calls me and says, I can't take it anymore. God is telling me to do something. I know this is what's supposed to happen. And you know what I'm going to say to Mark? If I trust Him and I think He's stable enough and He's mature enough and can do it, I say, Mark, you're it. And that is Mark's ministry, and he's it. You say, well, what if I screw up? Let me tell you something. I'd rather have a church full of screw-ups trying than people sitting on their rear, never doing a thing, and nobody ever being reached. I mean, if Ray starts some deal and goes for it and it fails, you know what? We say, Ray, let's try again. Let's do it again. Or the enemy knocks him on his rear and he gets taken back. You know what? We're going to help him back up. Let's go back into the battlefield. I'd rather be trying and failing, guys, and seeing your life changed and other people's lives being changed as a result of that than play church till you die. You don't have time for that, and it was too expensive to get you a life that could change the world. You say, but I can't speak like Richard. No one's asking you to speak. Not in front of a group. That may not be your deal. You don't have to be a pastor of a church. You just have to be able to let God live in you and through you and speak when He says speak. Does this make sense? Now read this with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Therefore, now Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul, by the way, is in jail when he's writing this. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now let me give you a picture. Have you ever put a glass of orange juice in a refrigerator overnight? You take a glass of orange juice, you put it in the refrigerator, and you come back the next morning, and what do you got? You got some kind of funky looking stuff in half the glass, and you got this stuff. How many of you go, oh great, it finally settled in, you grab the glass and drink it just like that? The stuff you're after has settled to the bottom. You know what you do with it? You stir it up. You grab the glass, you put your finger in there if you're a guy, or you get a spoon if you're a girl. You stir up that orange juice and do what? You get a balance back in that glass that'll make it taste better. The problem with us a lot of times is all the good stuff settles to the bottom and it's still there. It's not that we're dead. It's not that it's gone. It's just every once in a while, and Paul says, look, Timothy, stir it up. You got all this stuff in you. I know it's there. I'm the one that laid hands on you and saw it go into you. You've got these gifts. You can teach. You can do whatever it is God puts in you, but you've got to stir it up. Some of you, if I went around the room, have been Christians for maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and there was a time in your life when you knew what your passion was and you were doing it and you were alive. And you know what happened? You put yourself on a shelf and it settled in and it hadn't been stirred up in 5, 10, 15 years. And you think you're dead. You think it's over. And all you have to do is say, God, enough is enough. It's time to stir this up. You've let something that somebody said, something that somebody did, some church that made you mad, whatever it was, and you got all huffed and went out and said, I quit, I'm not doing this anymore. And God says, you know, get over it. Let's deal with it. Let's forgive them. Let's get on with our life. Let's stir it up and have a reason to live. And everybody in this room knows that going to work, getting a check, buying a whatever it is you think you're going to buy and have to do on the weekends is not going to fix your life if you don't have something where you give back and see other people's lives change as a result of your life, right? Stir it up. Look at this again. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, look what Paul says to Timothy. He knows what he's feeling. You know why some of you don't stir it up? Because you're scared. You know some of the people last night on Greenville, you know why they're a little nervous? They were scared. They were back in their own stomping grounds, and it made them a little nervous. And you think, man, this is too weird. It's like some kind of deja vu. I've been here, and they have. And you say, wait a minute, God. I'm not telling you I'm going back to this lifestyle, but I'm telling you I may come back to reach some of these people. Now, look what he says in verse 7. And I'd highlight this. You can write in your Bible. Some people don't know that or understand that, but you can. It doesn't mean you're adding anything to it. It just means it's there. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now the devil comes along, let me tell you his deal. He comes along on a Sunday morning like this, and I say, stir it up. You know what the devil says? Oh man, don't do that. I got in you all kind of trouble before. You're going to get hurt. It's going to cost you. You're going to get involved with people, and they're just going to mess you around like they did before. You can't trust people, but you can trust God. So God says, stir it up. And the devil says, oh, that's going to be scary. You're going to have to speak when you don't want to speak. You have to do something you don't feel comfortable doing. God says, stir it up. And the devil comes along and says, Suzanne, how about a little fear today? And you say, well, you know, that's what I was feeling anyway. Thank you so much. I think I'll take that. So Suzanne takes that spirit of fear the devil offers her, and she goes out going, oh, I feel so much better. I'm afraid, and it's okay to be afraid, and that's just how I'm going to keep living. Or she says, you know what? I hear there's a 3-to-1 ratio on this thing, and you're going to offer me fear, but God's offering power, love, and a sound mind. I believe I'll go with the power, love, and sound mind. The word for power in there is dunamis. We get our word dynamite from this word. Power. God says, don't be afraid. You don't have to be powerful. I'll be powerful in you. Love. You say, I don't love anybody. He says, yeah, but I do. Get out of the way. Let me love you and love them, and I'll do what you need done, what I need done. And you say, but God, you don't know how I live. Now, guys, I can start right here with me and go around the room and just person to person. And everybody in this room has got something that just screws your life up royally, repeatedly. Whatever it is, you say, I'm doing great. I'm struggling with this, but basically it's okay. And then, bam, you go down. The devil says, oh, baby, you better go back in your hole. You know, you're never going to amount to anything. You got this problem. Sound mind. You say, God, I'm out of control. Somebody may have it translated there, self-control. You got that anywhere? Power, love, and self-control. You say, God, but I'm out of control. He says, I'll get you in control. A lot of this stuff, guys, happens when you stir it up and you step out and do what God's telling you to do. You experience the power, you experience the love, and all of a sudden you get some self-control in your life, and it's part of the accountability that it keeps you moving instead of sitting and going backwards. There is something about speaking words and telling people where you're coming from and where you're going that gives accountability, where he'll say, God, man, I don't want to go back. I see where you've brought me. I've heard myself even talk about it again. I want to keep moving. And guys, whatever it is, you've got to find out what it is and do it. You say, but I'm not very good at it. I don't care how good you are at it. I got little girls who had to learn to walk. They crawled a little bit, but they were moving. And they'd get up and grab a table, and I'd help, and we'd walk together. That's what this is about. And where Greg might be awesome at something, and you say, you know what, Greg, man, I watch you do that, and you're the best at that, and I'd like to learn how to do that. That's something that stirs inside of me, too. And Greg says, all right, go with me. And somebody goes along with Greg, and Greg shows them, and they go, man, I think I can do it now. And they go out and try and fall flat on their face and come back and say, Greg, man, I'm struggling. He says, I understand, I did too. But they go back out there, and pretty soon now it's Greg doing it and somebody else and other people watching them saying, man, I got this same thing you got. I'd like to do that. I'd like God to use me the way he uses you. We are all leaders. It's just whether we're good or bad leaders. Whether you like it or not, you are a leader. And you're either leading people the wrong way or the right way. But forget not being a leader. You are a leader. And you have people at work, in your family, in your neighborhood, everywhere who are watching you. And you know what people watch for? Somebody with some passion. The world steps aside for somebody who knows where they're going. And a lot of times they'll follow them. And sometimes we follow crazy people with crazy messages. You know why? Just because they're so zealous about what they're doing. We want to go somewhere. We want to do something that'll change somebody's life, that'll change the world. Guys, you don't have to go anywhere. It's right here. Somebody died to change the world, to change your life, to change somebody else's life around you, and just get in on what he's already doing in your specific niche. All right, I want you to quickly turn to one other place, and that's over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read you three more verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, this is Paul again, who is one of the biggest guns in Christianity that ever existed. Says this, not that I have already attained. He says, I'm not there yet. Or am already perfected. Not that I've made it all the way. I'm not perfect. But I press on. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. That I may lay hold. Now, listen to how you may have different wording here. Why? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Now, what did he say there? I want to get a hold of whatever it is that Jesus has gotten a hold of me for. I want to get it. Because I know God didn't leave me here for nothing, and there's a gift in here somewhere. So for whatever reason it is that God has laid a hold of me, I want to lay a hold of whatever that reason is so I'll have it. And I've used this illustration. We got some tiny babies here. Sarah's back there with Linda in her arms. Let me tell you something. She is not going down to that hospital where she was born when she turns 14 to get some additional accessories. Everything she's going to have, it's a package deal. You've got all of God you're ever going to get if you've got God in you. You just don't know what you've got. And Sarah, as she grows, will discover, I'm a woman. I can have babies. I can love. I can feel. I can work. I can do. She'll have control of herself. Now she can't control anything. And it's a process like that. You say, God, I'm in the process, but I know there's more in here. I want to lay hold of that for which you've laid hold of me. I want to have a reason to live, a reason to be alive. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to leave the past where it is. Guys, you can't change the past. Everybody in the room's got one. You can't have a present without having a past. And whatever it is, and wherever you've been, whatever you've done, you can't change it, but you can sure let God change somebody else's life through your past and say, God, take it somehow. And I've used this before too, but it's one of the most visual things I've got. If all you've got is a pile of manure and you think that's all I've got, I got nothing to show for my life but a pile of manure. Only God, you take your pile of manure to God and say, God, I'm even embarrassed to show. I got nothing to give you, but I'll give you this. And God says, watch this. And it is the most fertile ground there exists. And God will say, watch this. I'll put a seed in here and life comes from your pile of manure. You say, I got nothing. I'm so embarrassed to even go to God. I got nothing but junk. Take whatever you've got and say, God, I'll give you something. And he'll take that and bring life from it. It's just how he is. He's a God of taking nothing and making something from it. And you say, yeah, but I told that guy Friday night and he didn't respond. That's not your problem. That's his problem and God's problem. My responsibility is to be there and plant the seed and to speak a word and share what he's done in me and through me. Does this make sense? Guys, let me tell you why I get so wound up about this stuff. Because I have a reason to be alive. And it is so exhilarating and it is so exciting. Last night on Greenville Avenue, if your passion is fishing, let me tell you something. That's like going deep sea fishing to me. There's something inside of me that stirs I can't even explain. I'd stay down there all night long. Now why? Because I know somebody died for me. And I know the same person that died for me died for them. And I don't know all their hurts. I haven't lived their life. But I can tell you on the positive side, I know what a difference it makes to know that the God of the universe loves you and cares enough for you to send his son to die for you. And if they cuss me out of a bar, you know, we're not going down there with banners or whatever. You just go be who you are and let God live through you. But if you go and they cuss you out and they run you out, guys, I'd rather go persecuted and have tried than to not try. If your house is burning down and I come in and try to take you out and you say, no, my house isn't burning and I can't get you out, now it's your fault, but I'm going to make a try. I'm going to at least try to drag you out of there if I can. I want you to wake up in the morning, not about church. I want you not just to go to church. I want you to know what it is to be church. I want you to wake up in the morning and say, God, I got a job. I got a check. I got a nice place to live in a car, but I've also got a life. And I am so grateful, God, that I have a reason to be alive. And that I see tangible difference that my life is making the life of somebody else. And that this is not a waste. Now that'd be a good way to wake up. I can assure you it is. And if you don't have that, I want to help you find that. But it starts where? From the very beginning. And the beginning is establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And saying, God, I know you love me. I believe that. And I think this whole thing about you giving your son his death, burial, and resurrection, I understand it's to purchase a gift for me of eternal life, and it's a free gift, and I'm telling you today, I'm a taker. I receive it. And I want you in my heart and in my life to live in me and through me and do whatever it is he's talking about. Not only give me a home in heaven forever, but help use my life to help somebody else get it. And that may be your deal. Secondly, you may already have that. And your glass has got all the good stuff in the bottom. And I'm begging you today to ask the Holy Spirit of God inside of you to move that spoon and stir it up and be alive again the way you know you can.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place, but most of all for these people, and even more than that, just for you. And Father, I know there's lots of people thinking lots of stuff, especially those who maybe it's their first time or in a long time, and their hearts are heavy and they know just something missing. They haven't seemed to get it. God, nobody who's gotten it, quote unquote, is any better than anybody else here. But I pray whoever feels that way, today would be the day, even sitting in a room like this, where they say, God, I think I get it. And whatever it is they're talking about, I haven't had, but I want. I want you not just around me, I want you in me. And I do believe Jesus died for me. And I receive this awesome gift of eternal life. I know I don't deserve it and I can't pay for it, but I receive it as a gift. And Father, for those who need to be stirred up and allow you to live in and through them the way you intend, God, there's no job, there's no place, there's nobody going to satisfy us like you in doing what you made us to do. And I pray that we would be diligent in trying to discover what that is. And we ask you to show us, Father, what it is that we've been left here to do and what our passion is, what your passion in and through us is, what our piece of the pie, our piece of the puzzle is. Thank you for this church, Father, and for what happens in a room like this. that can't be explained any other way but that you're here and you're doing it. And I thank you so much for that. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.